Hello, and welcome to the Project Elected podcast. Project Elect is a nonpartisan nonprofit whose goal is pretty simple. We want to get more Latter-day Saint women involved in public service. On this podcast, we interview amazing Latter-day Saint women who are involved in public service. Hi, my name is Audrey Perry Martin. I'm the founder of Project Elect and the host of this podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kim. I am so excited to hear all about your background and stories.
Oh, I'm excited to share a little bit. I'm laughing because we actually knew each other at BYU in the broadcast journalism program. So that's how I started. I did the whole BYU, KBYU News, Daily Universe journalism program. And actually, my last semester, I covered the political beat. So I spent a lot of time up at the state legislature. I did Provo City Council meetings. And by the end of that semester, I was hooked on government. I loved it. So I ended up getting a master's in public administration with an emphasis in finance. And my first job out of school was with the governor's office of planning and budget. Did that for a few years and then decided to stay at home with my first kid and worked at a nonprofit for about 15 years doing that, raising four kids. I never thought about running for city council. Not on my radar. There's no way I was going to run for office. Just the thought of seeing my name on political campaign signs in my city, it was the scariest thing ever. But I actually was tapped to run for city council by our representative at the time, Brady Brammer, and Mayor Rob Mann. They cornered me one day and said, hey, we think you should run for city council. And I just stared at them and thought, what about planning commission or the trails committee or something like that? But they really were adamant that I had the skills and experience to run for city council. So I thought about it for a while. I had four little kids. The youngest was 2 years old at the time. My husband actually was living in San Francisco for the summer with his business. And I thought, well, why not? What else am I going to do? So I took all those kids out campaigning. I paid all their friends with slushies and campaigned and ended up winning. So I've been doing that for the past few years as city council.
So you had very young campaign staff.
Oh, yeah. I'll be honest. I think I won because that two-year-old was really good at knocking on doors and just smiling and saying, vote for my mom. I credit my winning to him.
Yeah, I would vote for somebody who did that for sure. Yeah. Two-year-olds are adorable. How old was your oldest? Like, what was the spread of your kids when you decided to do this?
Yeah. So I think my oldest at the time was 11. She was probably almost 11. And then I had like 2, 5, and 7-year-olds. So the girl and the three boys. And it actually was the best summer. I still remember pulling in to my street and there'd be my like a little 11-year-old with my campaign signs out there on the corner. And she'd be like, honk if you're voting for my mom kind of thing. And all her friends got into it. My boys and their friends got into it. They did the parades and handing out flyers. So it was actually a really fun summer. I spent a lot of money on slushies though, for sure.
That's amazing. I love that story because a lot of women are worried to run because they've got little kids and they don't know how the kids are going to react to it. But it sounds like you made it a whole social event for the kids and they loved it.
Oh, yeah. That was my number one worry. When I was approached about running for city council, you think of all kinds of excuses. It's not the right time. I'm not experienced. Nobody will vote for me. My biggest though was I was like, I still have kids at home. There's no way I can do this. But I still remember Mayor Mann saying, Jenny Reese in Cedar Hills, she ran it with a 6-month-old. She just take her stroller around with her 6-month-old. And I sat there and thought, you know what? I can make up all kinds of excuses or I can just do it. And I did it. And my kids love it. They go to all the activities that the city puts on. They're really involved. My little, I guess he's 5 years old now. He sometimes comes to city council meetings and likes to bang the gavel. And we have a lot of fun doing it. So yeah.
That's amazing. I love it. And I love how you were like, my husband was out of town for the summer. And what else was I going to do? I just have four kids under the age of 12.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah. No big deal whatsoever. I wasn't going to cook dinner. I had a lot of spare time. Not
all
doing
those slushies.
But,
yeah. That'll get kids through the summer. That's instant
it.
Energy so, yeah. Right there.
Yeah. So yeah, he came home from San Francisco and I was like, hey, guess what? I'm on city council. He knew I was doing it and for sure was definitely supportive, but he was like, oh, for real? You did it? I was like, yep, for sure. Did it. I ran.
That's awesome. That is so cool. You've been on city council for about 3 years now in Highland, right? Can you tell us a little bit about Highland City for those listeners who aren't in Utah and how big it is, what your big issues and population is?
Oh, I love Highland City. Oh, there's nowhere else I'd rather live. I've been here for about almost 12 years. And the thing that I love about Highland, we're known for open spaces, trails, parks, big lot sizes, just it's a beautiful community. We have around 20,000 residents here, and we're just minutes away from a national forest, from Timp, and it is just a great place to raise your kids. There's always activities going on. I have 5 parks just right outside my house, any direction you go to. And so that's a little about Highland City. Some of the issues we're facing is we are a city that has amazing residents, not a lot of commercials. So I think our biggest thing is budget, trying to balance that budget with not a lot of sales tax, but at the same time, being mindful of our residents and property tax and trying to provide the services that are expected, but at the same time, make sure that our residents are comfortable with what they're paying for.
What are some things you've been able to accomplish while you've been on city council that you're proud of?
Right now, my number one item I'm proud of is that Highland City now finally has Christmas lights. It's something so small, but I just remember thinking, I swear to you, every single city has Christmas lights. Why do we not have Christmas lights anywhere? And that was one of my accomplishments. I was like, we got to put up Christmas lights and we got to make it look good. So if you drive by Heritage Park and see all those lights, that is one of the accomplishments that I am quite proud of. It's finally bringing that Christmas spirit to Highland. And I love seeing it. I think one of the other ones is we're building our big signature park right now. It's going to hopefully be done this coming summer. And as a mom of 4 kids, I would say I probably spend my most time at parks. All my boys play baseball, soccer, basketball. I'm always at a park. I'm always checking out parks, being like, oh, that's a really cool playground set. Ooh, that's a good all abilities right there. And so when I saw plans for our big signature park going in, when I got onto council, I looked at it and thought, this isn't going to fly. Nope. We need to take into account the demographics of our city and what do kids really want. And so I've worked hard on that project. We're putting in a $2 million all abilities playground, 8 pickleball courts, 2 soccer fields, big baseball field, and even a Ninja Warrior obstacle playground course. So it's going to be amazing. And it's something I'm really proud of because I don't think it would have happened if we didn't have women that were on the city council that knew what our residents wanted and what our kids wanted there. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I'm really proud of.
Who spend a lot of time at parks with their kids, and they know what the kids want and what the moms want and what the parents want. And that's amazing. And I think you're absolutely right. There's so much that women can bring to the table in different perspectives if they just are there on city council with a seat at the table. So good for you for running, even though you didn't want to. It's amazing. So what do you think makes a good public servant? What do you think is important to someone in city council or running for office?
This might seem like an odd answer, but I think what makes somebody a good public servant is a person who, I guess, doesn't want to run. I think that really the type of people that have never thought about running for a political office, it's not their aspiration. Those are the type of people that need to be serving and that we need to be tapping, because they're the ones who are there for the right reasons. They're there to help. They're there to do good. They see something they can help fix or see how they can help their city or state progress. And that's why they're there and not for any other reason. And I think that's what makes somebody a good public servant, is really because we might not want to be there, but we are there and we are there for the right reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. You want people who are there for the right reasons and not out there for ego or to get famous on the news or whatever reason they want to do it. So I want to hear a little bit about your other job, your job in the governor's office. What do you do there? And what's that like? Because that's a big part of public service too. It's behind the scenes, but it's important and you're doing a lot of good.
I'll tell you all about it. So 15 years ago, I used to work for the governor's office planning and budget as a budget analyst. I got to say, it was the best job. I was over natural resources, which people are like, that sounds like the most boring job ever. So much fun. I would go around the city checking out why we needed more money for trails or snowmobiling to see why we needed money here, or checking out Moab or all over. I just got to travel all over to understand what it is that Utah lacks and where we as a state can help. And so I did that for a few years and then did the stay-at-home mom thing and working nonprofit and just being involved and always following the state and bills. I'm a little bit of a political junkie that way. Actually, just a few months ago, my colleague, Sophia DeCaro, we used to be budget analysts together. She is amazing. And she's actually run for office and has served as a House representative. So she was tapped by Governor Cox to be the new director of the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget. And she reached out and was like, hey, are you ready to come back? And I decided to come back. It's time. And I feel like I have a fun job. I help out with all that COVID money that the cities and counties are receiving and making sure that they're spending it correctly, staying within the compliance and federal governments. And I also get to work on those local match grants that cities and counties have received as well from certain ARPA funds. And so it's a subset of the city council. I get to work with cities and counties and I love it because it's just another way to hang out with mayors and city council members and city managers and see what good they're doing as well. So that's my job. And I have to say, it's worked out really nice. I work from home. I have flex hours. I can come and go as I want. And I wish that was there 15 years ago when I had my first. There's a lot of negatives about COVID, but one of the positives is it's really broadened the way we work. And I think that allows more opportunities for women to stay in the work field. So it's a great opportunity. And I love working for Governor Cox. I think he's a great governor. He's doing a lot of good and just a positive attitude. When you talk about somebody who is not in a political office because he wants to be there, but because he knows he needs to be there and he can help, that is Governor Cox, most definitely.
That's great. And that's great to like the person that you're working for and respect them and know they're there for the right reasons, because I've worked for both types and it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I would not be there if I did not like and respect the person I'm working for, just because you're trying to follow an agenda. And if you don't believe in that agenda, then it's really hard to follow.
And it sounds like your work on city council would have really helped you in your position now, because there's a lot of overlap and your perspective as a city council person has got to help when you're figuring out stuff. Yeah.
It's interesting because I call up a lot of mayors and they'll be like, hey guys, I need this report updated and just need to show how you spent this money. And they're like, oh my gosh. And I was like, but you know, I totally understand how you feel because I'm actually on the city council also. So isn't it a pain to do these reports? At the same time, we just need to make sure that we're spending our money correctly. And so once I say that, then it's nice because they are like, so you understand? I'm like, absolutely. I understand both ends here. It's great. And it's really helped me even being on city council, just being like, I'll see you. We have ULCT. So I'll be like, see you at the next ULCT as city council or your fiscal grants manager.
That's awesome. And I totally agree with what you said about COVID changing and opening up the way people work, because there's been such a shift in the past couple of years to allow flexible working and different arrangements. And it's incredible because like you said, if that had been there 15, 20 years ago, what a difference it would have made in people, in women's life, especially, and in their decisions. And I'm just so excited for these generations coming up and coming into the workforce in a time when there's actually so many more options for them that doesn't require them to sit in an office away from their kids from 9 to 5 every single day.
I'm a big advocate of it. If you can stay in the work field, do it. I look back 15 years ago and I looked at so many different options of what could I do. I wanted to be at home with my daughter, but at the same time, I didn't want to leave. I was fortunate enough to be offered a position a few months after she was born as a executive director of a nonprofit through one of my BYU professors. And so that was great. I still do it. And I was able to work from home flex hours also. But at the same time, I look back and think, if there had been more opportunities, if there had been more flexibility, where would I be at now? And I think that it could definitely be a different scenario of where I could have been at. But I'm grateful for the opportunities that are now available. And I'm just excited for the generations of women that can be able to take advantage of that and see where they go.
And even if you're not working full time during some of those years, it still helps you keep in contact with people and keep your skills and your knowledge up to date. And it's really great if you can do that at a level that is flexible and works for you and your family. So it's hopeful.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's hopeful. Do you think more women of faith and more Latter-day Saint women should get involved in politics and involved in their communities and public service? And if so, why?
let's be honest, we are the go-getters out there. I definitely think we should be more involved. I just see how women in our religion, of our faith, how they just know how to see something that needs help. And they don't just think, man, that person needs help. No, we are always the one that are looking and seeing a problem and coming up with solutions. And then we have the passion to then solve it and follow through on that. And I think that's why we need to be involved. But also, I think we need to be involved for our kids to show them what we're passionate about and what we can do to make a difference in all areas in our lives, in our neighborhoods or communities, in our religion, but also in our government as well.
And it sounds like you've been involved in a lot of different types of things. I mean, nonprofit, you've worked for the governor's office, you have an MPA, and you are on city council. So you have a really broad perspective about what's out there. Are there things that you would encourage specifically women to get involved in or to think about getting involved in? Maybe if they're not up for running for office yet, they're not quite ready to take that plunge, because I know that's a plunge.
Whenever somebody asks me how to vote, I never say, this is a person you should vote for. I always say, okay, so what are your passions? What do you want to accomplish? And what are your priorities in life? And then from there, I say, this is the candidate that aligns with your priorities and passions. And I think at the same time, when it comes to being involved and giving service, look at your life and think, what are my priorities? What are my passions? What do I want to see changed? Or what do I think I can do to make better? And then look at avenues that you can do to get involved, whether it be PTA, nonprofit work, even just with your kids, being able to help them in areas to be more involved as well. I was involved in the PTA and I love that. That helped me to give confidence. And I think that's really the main thing when it comes down to it. The more we're involved and the more we give into those passions and priorities of making a difference, the more confidence we have to see that I can actually make a difference and I am doing good and I am experienced and I am educated in those areas, because that's what you like and that's what you are passionate about.
And being passionate, I like that, because you don't want people running for office and getting involved just because they want it on their resume. You want them to do it because they're passionate, because they care, because they want to make their community a better place for families and children. And if women go at it with that perspective, especially Latter-day Saint women, we're always looking for service opportunities. And sometimes we overlook public service opportunities and community service opportunities because we're focused on church or other things instead of looking at, okay, I could get on a board, or I could run for office, or I could work in politics somehow or for government somehow. And I think that's what we want to tell women on this podcast, is you don't have to do those things. There's a lot of ways to get involved. And you're such an inspiration for that because you've done so many of them. That's amazing. What kind of hesitations do you see women express when they're considering running for public office?
So many. I think the main one is confidence. I can just say from a personal perspective, I feel like, looking back, I'm somebody who has an undergrad degree, who has a master's, who worked for the governor's office, did nonprofit work. I'm a mom of four kids. And when I was asked to run for office, my number one thought was, there's no way I could do that. I'm not experienced enough. I'm not knowledgeable enough. There's no way people would ever vote for me. I'm a mom of four kids. No, there's no, I thought for sure, I will lose. And I remember even going to the city council meetings and looking up at those city council members up there. They were all men, all older, and thinking, they're so much better than me. They have so much more business experience and knowledge. Fast forward to today, and I want to just shake myself, that self 3 years ago, and just say, you are amazing. You know how to do this. Just put your mind to it. You are experienced, you are confident, and you don't have to have an educational background. You don't have to have work experience. You just have to be able to want to give and to be passionate about something and make a difference. And so that's what I would just want to tell women, is you don't have to check off all these boxes in order to run for office. All you have to do is say, you know what? I have the time, I have the effort, I have the passion to do it. I'm going to do it. And to be honest, we don't even have the time, but still we make the time. So yeah.
Yeah. The time might not happen. It sounds like you have three jobs right now too. Like you're still doing the nonprofit.
I actually have four. You're going to laugh at me. I run and I teach a treadmill class at the rec center. That is my fourth job. And it's something fun. I've done it for 11 years. I love it. Every Monday morning, you'll find me there barking at people to tap up their speed and yelling at people. And maybe it's just a way to run out all that anxiety and aggression. So yeah, I have 4 jobs.
That's incredible.
You got time for it. You got time for it. Yeah.
No. Oh, and 4 kids too.
4 kids. Yeah.
That's nothing.
They're amazing.
That's so cool. And it sounds like you're just the type of person who sees something interesting that they want to do and just goes for it and does a great job at it. Of course you have 4 jobs. Why would you?
Maybe it's because I can't say no, but I don't know. If it's something that you want to do, you'll make time for it and you'll make it a priority and your family will rally around you. And I think it's been great for my kids. My kids are really independent and they're great at getting their work done. And, you know, my daughter, I swear, she always cooks. She just cooks dinner for us and she loves it. And my boys are very independent. So it's worked out well for our family to take that route.
Yeah, I love that. I found something similar too. If I am working or busy, my kids really step up and they're learning all these great skills. And I'm so grateful for that because they learn how to cook. They learn how to do their laundry. They learn how to get stuff done because mom's not going to pick up all their slack. So they're old enough to do it and they might as well do it. It'll help them when they're older.
I still remember looking over and seeing that little 2-year-old just popping some chicken nuggets in the microwave and thinking, yeah, that works. That works. Okay, mm-hmm. Go for it. You got your lunches now.
Yeah. And it gives them confidence too, that they are capable. And they're so much more capable, I think, than we often give them credit for.
But it's fun also, like my kids are really involved in sports. My boys, they all play baseball and soccer. My daughter does comp cheer. And so it's actually a great avenue for me as well to always be out there in the afternoons, evenings, on those fields, in the parks, and watching them and talking to other parents and being like, so what do you think of this park? What needs work here? It is great for me as well to be able to connect with my residents because I'm always out there just hanging out with the parents. And that's how I find out what needs working on in Highland. Yeah,
it doesn't have to be official events, right? You're just living your life and because you're involved in your community, what the community needs and talk to the people in your community. You don't have to schedule those meet and greets and all that kind of stuff because your whole life sounds like a meet and greet, right?
I'm meeting and greeting all over the place.
What's a challenge you're facing as an elected official and how are you tackling it?
So many challenges. Right now, just budget-wise is a challenge for us. I think everyone across the board can say inflation has hit us hard, but it's a double-edged sword because it's hit our families hard, but at the same time, it's hit the cities hard. So normal services that we provide are costing a lot more money. Salaries are skyrocketing. So we need to pay our public safety, all of our staff more. But then how do we pay for it? Because we don't want to put those costs and those burdens on people that are now feeling it. So that's, I think, the biggest challenge right now is trying to find that middle ground of how can we provide those services that are expected, but at the same time, not further burdening our residents with even more taxes and fees. And so it's a hard one to grapple with, but Highland City is a great place. And they really see if we need to increase our public safety's salaries in order to retain them and be able to provide the services our residents want, then they were like, okay, this is something that I'm willing to pay for. But in other areas, we'll take cuts as well.
Yeah, that does sound hard. And I think probably that's a pretty universal problem right now in government and communities, because you don't want to tax people more when they're hurting so much, but everything costs more at the same time. So it's a catch 22.
Yeah. You're really trying to start thinking outside the box is, I always like to say where can be more proactive and not reactive, because if your roads are crumbling, you got to be proactive about it. Put in the work right now, put in the money right now to maintain your roads instead of putting in 10 times more money to fix them. So I think that's the area that we really need to work on is being proactive about our maintenance and maintaining our city. And sometimes that does cost a little bit more money, but in the long run, you're going to save a whole lot more money doing it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so nice you have such a background in finance and government finance that you certainly would know that and how to make it happen. So they're lucky to have you.
Yeah, it's nice. But also like being a mom, it's the same thing. We manage our budgets here. And so we learn exactly that same concept. If I'm maintaining my house and I'm paying for air filters, then I'm not going to have to replace my AC quite as soon. So, and my heater quite as soon. So that kind of stuff, like we learn and That's why I'm always like, you guys don't need, you women don't need education or experience. You have it. You have it. So yeah. Put it to work.
Yeah, for sure. So did you have a mentor to walk you through the process of running? How did you figure that out? I know you had the slushies, but beyond the slushies, because I know there's more to it than that. So how did you figure out like how to print campaign signs and what doors to knock and all of those things?
So I actually went to, it was called back then Real Women Run. I think it's called Utah Women Run right now. I actually kind of was introduced to them by Mayor Mann and Susan Mattson to, it's basically, it was a 1-day training course. And I was like, oh, I'll show up. I'll see what it is. And it was great. I encourage all women just to go to one of their trainings. Not only does it give you confidence, it gives you networking. And it gives you a lot of skills in order to run a campaign, what to expect, how to do it. So that was one thing that I did that kind of started it off. The Representative Brady Brammer, Mayor Mann, city council members on Highland, I basically met with all of them and said, hey, how did you run your campaign? And they were great. They gave me all their information, their brochures, their spreadsheets. And really helped me to, here's your list of political influencers. You got to hit these people right here. Here are these phone numbers. Go knock on these doors. So the whole city council and mayor, they really helped me. And then Sophia DeCaro, she's amazing. We have been friends since before kids were born. And she took me out to lunch and said, what can I do? I'll knock doors. Here are my brochures, my flyers, all the information of how she ran her campaign. And along the way, just coached me and gave me confidence as well. So those are like really my big mentors. And I will say it, if anyone ever wants to run for a political office, I would love to help you out. I would give you all of my tips, tricks, my flyers, and where I went to buy campaign signs. I would love to help. I'll knock doors for you. It's fun. And I just love seeing that confidence grow when women realize that it's not that bad campaigning. It's really not that scary.
That's amazing. It sounds like you had a lot of people who believed in you and who helped you and supported you. And I think women don't realize how those people come out of the woodwork when you decide to run for office. And they'll be surprised at how many supporters they already have, how many mentors they already have.
It was actually interesting because there's 3 city council member seats open. And another candidate that was running was, her name was Brittany Bills. And we kind of tag team and we said, I'll help you. You help me. Let's combine our efforts and campaign together. And it was a lot of fun to say, vote for her, vote for me. And we completely just helped each other out. And so if you have somebody that's running it, you can tag team also and just say, how can we help each other out?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really nice in like school board and city council seats where it's not just one seat. There's often multiple seats open. And so you both can win. You said you talked about Utah Women Run and their training program, their campaign program, and they have a great program. There's also just so many organizations, if you're not in Utah, that do these kind of things. And some of them are online. They're often free. I mean, I think I would definitely encourage women to go to these, even if they're not sure they want to run, or even if they think they want to run in 10 years. It might just open up a lot of windows in your brain and help you figure out exactly that it's not that big of a deal. It's not that hard. It's something you totally can do.
Yeah. And the training I went to, I am still friends with the women that sat at my table. None of them ran, but they're all go-getters who just want to know the process. And eventually when they're ready, they want to have it and be able to start the out the door running. And it's just even a great networking event as well. I'll be attending the one in a few months as a mentor. And I'm excited because I would love to mentor anyone that's interested in running.
When does your term end? And are you planning on running again?
Yeah, so I will be up for re-election. Yep, I have one more year left and I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably run again. I love city council. It's fun. Those meetings are long, but we have a good council. We all get along. We are cracking up laughing. It's a good time to be on Highland City Council right now.
Okay, so do you have any advice you want to share before we wrap up?
I just invite you guys to really think about what you're passionate about, what your priorities are in life, whether it be public service, anything, and just get more involved. Know that sometimes as women, we don't think we are enough or that we don't have anything to bring to the table. But I just want to tell you, we are enough. We have a ton to bring to the table and so much to provide our community, our residents, our society. So look at what you can do and start getting involved. And if there's anything that I can do to help, I would absolutely love to help as well.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been so fun to chat with you. Thank you all for listening to Project Elected Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to projectelectwomen.org. We're also on Instagram and Facebook as Project Elect Women. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate us, or give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, thank you.